Hey, it's Coach Kate here, registered dietitian and owner of RD Kate Sports Nutrition. As a member of the LCC Stars Athletic Department, I teach our athletes what to eat and when to eat it on training days, competition days, and throughout the year. For over a decade, I've been helping athletes of all sports and levels meet their goals. RD Kate Sports Nutrition offers individual consulting, team services, on-demand courses, and downloadable handouts. For more information, visit rdkate.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome to Coach Cut's Corner. Streaming bright from Michigan's capital city, this podcast is dedicated to helping you better understand the who, the what, and the why of mental performance, personal growth, and Lansing Stars baseball. Coach Cut's Corner, brought to you by Eyewash. And now here's your host, Stephen Cutter.
Welcome to Coach Cut's Corner, where we challenge limits, push for greatness, and develop athletes who thrive on and off the field. We've built a program centered on discipline, self-belief, and relentless preparation. Each week, I bring you insights from my coaching journey, conversations with high performers, and lessons that drive winning habits. If you're serious about growth, whether as a player, coach, leader, or person, you're in the right place. Let's get after it. Today, we're talking about something dangerous. Not a losing streak, not injuries, not even adversity. We're talking about complacency, the silent killer. Let me start with this. A couple weeks ago, we just swept a weekend series. Everything was clicking. Guys were loose, confident, and locked in. Then Monday hit, and the edge was gone. You could feel it. The energy was flat. Details were being missed left and right. And that's how complacency works. It doesn't show up as laziness. It shows up as comfort. And in this game, comfort is the enemy of growth. Today, Coach Jeff Allen is with me in the studio. Nobody's more in the day-to-day with this group than Jeff. He's been instrumental in building the culture here and the culture we have right now. Jeff, glad you're here, man.
Thanks for having me.
When you hear the word complacency, what do you think of first? And where do you see it sneak in?
It's a killer. It's a sneaky killer, too. You know, it kind of sneaks up on you if you're not aware of the signs of it. And even myself, I've kind of found myself in situations where I'm beginning to become a little bit complacent. Yeah. And kind of got to check it as quick as you can and put some plans in place to, you know, kind of stop it right where it is and keep going. But I think that it really stems from, like you were talking about earlier, is those when things are going great, you know, you're rolling and you're like, man, nothing can go wrong. You kind of almost feel yourself taking the foot off the gas a little bit and not paying attention to the little things that got you to that point where things are going great. And it's really tough to kick it if you don't recognize when it's happening. It's a very delicate balance because you don't want to be overcritical of yourself, but also at the same time, you want to be critical enough that you can grow even in your wins just as much as you would from, you know, your losses.
I'm glad you brought that up because I really want to clear something up here. Complacency and confidence are not the same things. So when you talk about winning and having confidence, complacency and confidence are completely different things. Confidence says, I've earned this. Complacency says, I'm all right right now.
Right.
You know, there's a huge difference. One feels action, the other invites decline.
Yeah.
How do you help our players build real confidence without letting it turn into complacency? What are some things that kind of come to your mind with building confidence in our program?
When it comes to building confidence, I think one of the best things we can do as coaches is really make the the practice situations as difficult as possible to begin with, you know.
Still not a game, no matter how hard you work at that. But right. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Game-like is possible, but it's still not like a game.
No. And you can do little weird things to kind of spice it up. Like we like to do distraction ground balls. You know, it kind of puts in a competitive edge to it. Guys are out there competing, and you're not ever going to have a guy standing in front of you jumping around it when you're fielding a ground ball, but it
never say never, but
but it makes it more difficult, and it speeds the game up on them, so that when you do slow it down or when you do get into those game situations, they can kind of just react and get in that flow state and not really press, because they've been in situations similar to it at that same speed. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't feel as fast if you can create those environments in practice. So I think that's probably the biggest thing that I would say as far as like building confidence in those players, is making it difficult and showing them that they can succeed in that, and then letting them roll with it when it comes to competition time.
Yeah, there's some gray area there. Confidence can lead to complacency, but they are two definitely separate things. As I was thinking about complacency a little bit, I kind of wanted to call myself out here and talk about year three, which was last season for us. And when I was thinking about it a little bit, and I thought about it a lot, because we went 35-17 last year, and that still was not solid enough for us to make the playoffs. One of the only teams in the country with 35 wins not playing in the postseason, but that is what it is in our region. And really, that was one of those things where you could either learn from it and get better, or just think that the chips were stacked against you. And we were winning. The guys were definitely younger, and through that youth piece, they were less experienced, but we had talent, you know, and everybody thinks if you have talent, you're going to have success. And I leaned way too far into our theory of coach-fed, player-led model that we have here. And I really pulled back on some things, thinking that the other groups had gotten it and this group would have gotten it. And I really should have shifted. I did, but it was too late. I should have shifted from coach-fed, player-led to coach-fed, coach-led, because they were just so young. And you can't assume that because one group gets it, the next group's going to get it.
Right.
And complacency definitely went in there. And I learned a lot from that, and you can't let culture run on cruise control. Standards still need to be spoken, shown, and modeled by the coaches. And that lesson definitely shifted how I lead now. Complacency doesn't just affect our players, it also affects our coaches, who think their system is self-sustaining, just like mine. It's not, it never will be. What have you noticed about the last few leadership classes that we've had as we talk about the important subjects in there?
It's just a lot of foundational stuff that's really intertwined. Like we talked about complacency quite a bit in the last one, you know, and then like confidence and complacency aren't the same thing, like you said, but I feel like there is a relationship between them.
Yes.
To the point where, you know, if you're getting too confident and you're getting too comfortable, that's when it starts to creep in. And really, it all, even all the way back to the fall, all of our leaderships are really, really tied together. And it, when you boil it down, that's really what leadership is being able to take all of those aspects of it and kind of combine them and show those overlapping areas where, you know, you might be a solid leader in some areas, but if you're not sharpening your skills in those other ones, then you're not allowing yourself to be the best leader you possibly can. So I think that really tying those together week to week has helped me quite a bit in my coaching journey as far as trying to become a better overall well-rounded leader. I would say one of the main underlying tones the past couple of weeks with leadership is definitely, you know, not being satisfied with what you've done so far. You know, every day you're paying your dues to get that success that you're wanting, and it doesn't stop. Even once you get to that point, there's always going to be a point where you want more. And if there's not, that's when that complacency starts to kind of creep in, and you start taking steps backward instead of forwards.
You know, I know there's a quote from Pat Riley, can be somewhat of a gut punch if you let it sink in. And it he said, success makes you forget what it took to get there.
Yeah.
And when you talk about confidence and stuff, that's where confidence and complacency, success, and those things have a very close relationship. Yeah. But it can't get too close. There's got to be some lines in there. And the easiest way we found to define those lines with a team that's had a lot of success, you know, over a period of time is just with the truth and honesty. And that's the biggest thing to talk about, instead of always saying, hey, great win, that was a true team win. You can still talk about that stuff, but then, you know, what else do we need to work on? And that's kind of where our Well Better Hows come from and things like that. But it's identifying the truth instead of always patting everybody on the back and telling them that they're doing great, when there's other things that they can work on to help them do better in mainly in life, and then life parallel sports all the time.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
That's kind of why we stay process driven. That's why we stay uncomfortable. That's why we reset the tone every single day. That's why our tones are mingled, but in our leadership and stuff, as we go through the season, it's continually talking about things that are super, super important in life and in sports, and constantly hammering that home, because the things that are the most important in your program or in your life, you should be communicating about those as often as you can. And the more things that you can communicate about that are important, the more those lessons somewhat get learned. So I want to shift to the present right now, and I want to talk about this a little bit, because when I think about where we are present day with our Stars program, we've won 14 of our last 15 games. That's not a fluke. That's not luck. That's a lot of recovery work, intentional prep, leaderships. That's better in-game communication between players, coaches. That's staying locked in through ridiculously long bus rides and crazy spring weather and all the changes and delays we've had. But then we sit here and we say, we're not impressed by the streak. We're definitely proud of how we're playing.
Yeah.
From your seat, what's been the most significant shift behind this run that we're on when we start the season 1-5 and are currently 15-6?
I think there has been a lot of resiliency shown through our players. Yeah. You know, when we went down to Mississippi, we realized that, you know, it's going to be extremely tough competition. Started out the season with one of the best teams in the country, Pearl mm-hmm. River. You know, that's, there's a lot of teams that would roll into that and, you know, get beat and just kind of lay down, you know, pack it in for the season and call it quits. But I haven't seen even an ounce of quit out of our guys. I think it, if anything, it motivated them more to get back and work even harder and keep their eyes on the goal of, you know, getting back to a point where we're playing like a Pearl River and Enid and, you know, really show them what we're actually about instead of that early season. You know, you're still getting the jitters out. So that's not even close to the team that we are today. But also in the same breath, I don't think that we're close to the true potential of our team yet. I think that we're starting to get there, but there's still, you know, a lot of work to be done.
Yeah, we talk a lot about maybe we're playing at 55 or 60% of our capacity right now, and it's trying to reach that capacity. The real test isn't if we can win, it's if we can keep our edge while we're winning. That's where teams get separated, not in the losses, but in the wins. It's having a team that has won 14 out of 15 games and having a program full of players that expect to win 15 out of 15 games.
Yeah.
In sports and baseball, it's really tough to win games consecutively. It's just tough to win. There's some luck that goes into whether that ball goes fair or foul, and right, whether you stay healthy or you don't, you know, all that stuff. But the standard never really changes. It's no. The players expect to win whether they come out and they're playing the number one team in the country and they haven't been outside for more than 3 days. to start the season. The expectation is there, and that expectation doesn't get built overnight. It's through a long process, and players coming in expecting to win because of where the program's at, and it's, you just keep kind of stacking the bricks. And I think about like some moments with this team that I've just said, this team is different.
Yeah.
And we've been fortunate in a lot of ways to have some really special teams here and special players and special families and things like that. And I look at this team this year, and I've said for quite a while, even in the fall, like, this team is different. They are super close. And that piece is something that you can't build by having pizza parties or bowling. You probably can't hurt it by doing that, but it runs deeper than that. It's the care for each other. And this team is, the nucleus is extremely close. And so that's like a plus one or a win. Oh, yeah. That says, you know, this team is different. They battled through adversity, which every team will battle through adversity. It doesn't matter who you are. You know, it's sometimes it becomes a flag for programs. Like, we've had the most adversity. Well, everybody's going to have adversity. Yeah. And so it's just how they've responded with the things that we've given them, how they're trying their best to learn all the things that we deem as important in our program. And then, of course, just the energy with them. They're very happy and having fun and having a lot of energy through times that, like, where practices or those long bus trips or anything, you know, those aren't the most fun things to do, you know. And when right. you're trying to be intentional in practice and trying to develop habits and routines and things that are going to serve them, a lot of that stuff is somewhat boring. And on the other side of the coin, it's also extremely challenging. And yeah. so the failure rates are really high, and there's not a whole lot of people in this world that love to fail. There's not a lot of people that love to change either, but they don't love to fail. So when we talk about a nucleus, a large group of kids that have come together and are very close, they've also created this belief system and these standards. And it's been pretty neat to watch. Do you have anything any moments or players or scenes that made you think this team is different? I know you've had a lot of views from other places and stuff. So anything really stand out to you where you said, this team's different?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Actually, just about a week and a half ago, I think we beat a team by about 9 runs. And, you know, that's a pretty big margin to beat somebody by. But at the end of the game, I kind of found myself reflecting. I was like, man, we won, but I don't feel like we won, you know, just because the standard's so high. And it's like, man, I feel like we could go out and put up 25 runs every game, or and play errorless defense and, you know, shut out baseball. So it's, and you see that on the faces of the players too. Not that they're not proud of the win, you know, but they're still hungry. So yeah. that's kind of one thing that I took a step back and I went, yeah, this is a lot different than anything I've ever been a part of. This is a high growth environment, you know. People are wanting more than just the victory, just what the scoreboard is.
Yeah, those high growth environments, and I don't think we've talked about them a whole lot on here, but those high growth environments are extremely challenging.
Yeah.
And it becomes an enormous filter for people, and how bad do they really want something, and being able to push through some adversity, push through some early mornings, some late nights, and you really find out, like, you better have a strong why.
Yeah.
And you better be able to battle the complacency when you start having some success. And if you don't, the game is going to humble you. And absolutely. We've had some experiences in our 21 games that you see players get humbled very quickly.
Yeah.
And it's that's why we say things like stay humble, stay hungry. Let me leave you with this quote. Success is never owned. It's rented. And the rent is due every day. And we talk about this a lot, about this is a new day. What you did yesterday doesn't matter. I think there was a, I put a quote on the board. I put a lot of quotes on the boards, but I was talking about potential.
Yeah.
And it's, I said, I really don't care what your potential is. I believe, and I think I asked our entire group, like, do you believe that everybody has potential? And the entire group said, absolutely. And yeah. I said, you know, we all, as human beings, we have potential. I care more about what you do with your potential and what you're doing with it. Our world is full of a lot of underachievers. So the message to the team was, don't waste your gift.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to show up every day, you're not always going to get the wins on the scoreboard. You're not always going to get the wins in life. There's going to be traffic. There's going to be heavy backpacks. There's going to be all that stuff. But if you keep showing up, you give yourself the best chance.
Yeah.
And if it's 10 out of 10 times, maybe one out of those 10 times is not going to work for you. But 9 out of 10 times, if you keep showing up, you give yourself the best chance. And that's what we're trying to do with the student athletes here. That's what we're trying to do with our coaching staff. And it's never really enough. We reward them as much as we possibly can, but we still try to keep them humble and hungry and telling them national rankings do not matter, win streaks do not matter. It's the process, buying into the process and doing the things that are going to help you grow and get better. And that's really the deal. You don't own wins. You earn them every pitch, every rep, every meeting. I think I say that all the time.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us today. Make winning in life your habit, not your goal. Excellence isn't an outcome. It's a daily standard. Our mission is to build athletes and teams that compete at the highest level, not just on game day, but in every aspect of their journey. Build the right habits, lead with intent, and push yourself beyond the limits others set for you. And don't forget to cherish the small moments. They pass by in a blink of an eye. Until next time. Keep stacking bricks and go Stars.
Coach Cuts Corner is recorded live in the WLNZ studios with Dalian Lowry providing engineering and production assistance. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it and follow us on all forms of social media. Our program has been built and maintained with the help of many great people. If you want to be part of our mission, you can donate using the link in the show notes below. You can learn more at CoachCutter.com and more about our team at LCCStars.com. See you next time.